Chapter 33, verse 1. Looking up, Jacob saw Esau coming, accompanied by 400 men. He divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maids. Jacob was fearful because he had reason to assume Esau was still angry with him, and Esau's 400 men only exacerbated his fear. Verse 2. Putting the maids and their children first, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. In a rather unsubtle demonstration of his favoritism, Jacob divided his camp in the order of his love for them, placing his treasured wife, Rachel, and her son Joseph in the back, so that they would be the last to be harmed should enemy forces attack. Verse 3, he himself went on ahead. Despite his fear, Jacob showed courage by confronting Esau head-on. Verse 3 continued, and bowed low to the ground 7 times until he was near his brother. Jacob's gesture may have been a demonstration of respect for his older brother, but it was also clearly an act of self-humiliation. The Hebrew phrase, bowed low to the ground, vayishtachu artza, denotes a full-length proneness of the body in submission to a superior authority, sarna. John Levinson, a professor of Bible at Harvard University, notes the irony in this situation. The scene reverses the dominance of Jacob over Esau, prophesied in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, and chapter 27, verses 29 and 37, which predicted Esau will bow to Jacob. Verse 4. Esau ran to greet him. He embraced him, and falling on his neck, he kissed him, and they wept. The age-old maxim, time heals all wounds, seems to have been in operation here. Both Esau and Jacob were overcome with sincere affection and emotional catharsis. Esau was not a bad man, and the Torah never portrays him as such. It is true, Esau did not care about spiritual matters, and he was a gruff man of the earth. But the Torah never depicts him as mean-spirited. Moreover, he was a devoted son, which in my book, and more importantly this book, counts for a lot. Honoring one's parents is one of the Ten Commandments. In addition to reacting to this emotional moment, reuniting with his only sibling after 20 years, Jacob's tears must have been at least partially out of profound relief that his brother's greeting was one of familial love, not hostility or, worse, violence. Verse 5. Looking about, he saw the women and the children. Who, he asked, are these with you? He answered, the children with whom God has favored your servant. Jacob, not wanting to take any chances, continued to speak to his brother in submissive terms. I have long wondered how Esau reacted to Jacob addressing him as my lord and to Jacob referring to himself as your servant. While younger brothers were expected to show deference to their older siblings, Jacob's language went well beyond the expected standard. Bowing low to the ground 7 times and speaking of himself in so servile a manner are not the normal manners or language a younger brother would use upon meeting an older brother, even after a long separation. Did Esau not wonder, what is all this servile language and behavior about? And if he did, why didn't he suggest Jacob speak normally to him? I can offer 2 possible explanations. One is that Esau was not a particularly introspective man who would have thought deeply about this. The other is that he may have liked it. Verse 6. Then the maids with their children came forward and bowed low. Verse 7. Next, Leah with her children came forward and bowed low. And last, Joseph and Rachel came forward and bowed low. When Jacob's servants and family members saw the extent to which Jacob honored his older brother, they took their cues from him and paid similar respect. These bows would have demonstrated to Esau that Jacob had effectively conveyed to his family how much he respected his brother. Alternatively, and perhaps more likely, they all shared Jacob's apprehension of Esau, and therefore sought to honor him as much as possible. They undoubtedly understood the reason Jacob had divided them up into separate camps prior to the meeting. Verse 8, "And he asked, 'What do you mean by all this company which I have met?'" Esau wanted to know why Jacob had sent ahead such an extraordinary array of gifts. Verse 8 continued, "He answered, 'To gain my Lord's favor.'" This was quite an honest answer on Jacob's part. Verse 9, "Esau said, 'I have enough, my brother. Let what you have remain yours.'" And this was quite an honorable answer on Esau's part. Verse 10, "But Jacob said, 'No, I pray you, if you would do me this favor, accept from me this gift. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, and you have received me favorably.'" Some readers might regard Jacob's comment that seeing Esau's face was like seeing God's face as Jacob being willing to say anything to gain Esau's favor. But it may have been authentic. Jacob had asked God for a warm and friendly welcome, and in Jacob's view, his prayer was directly answered. It may well have seemed to Jacob as if God were greeting him. Jacob owes Esau amends. Verse 11, "Please accept my present which has been brought to you, for God has favored me, and I have plenty." And when he urged him, he accepted. The Hebrew word translated here as "my present" is actually the Hebrew word "my blessing." Thus, Hebrew readers would not have missed the power of what Jacob was in effect saying. "While I once took your blessing, I now give back to you a blessing." But the word was likely also a reminder of the history between the brothers. Esau accepted Jacob's gifts, but did not offer any gifts of his own in return. Perhaps Esau, who saw himself as having been cheated out of his blessing, did not feel he owed Jacob anything. Richard Elliot Friedman writes, "Unlike biblical interpreters who try to defend Jacob's earlier actions, Jacob himself is pictured as 1. Not trying to make any excuses, and 2. Trying to make amends. As one of those who does offer a defense of Jacob's earlier actions, I nevertheless acknowledge that Jacob needed to make amends." Verse 12, "And Esau said, 'Let us start on our journey, and I will proceed at your pace.'" Verse 13, "But he said to him, 'My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. If they are driven hard a single day, all the flocks will die.'" Verse 14, "Let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I travel slowly, at the pace of the cattle before me, and at the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." Though they had just concluded a warm reunion, Jacob had little interest in traveling with his brother, or, as will become clear, in meeting up with him in Esau's land Seir. While Jacob seemed truly happy to have reconciled with Esau, he deemed it best if they each went their separate ways. Jacob probably believed, in the words of an old expression, "They buried the hatchet, but each one remembers where the hatchet was buried." Too much exposure to each other might fray their fragile truce. Verse 15, "Then Esau said, 'Let me assign to you some of the men who are with me.' But he said, 'Oh no, my lord is too kind to me.'" Esau offered some of his men to protect Jacob, who, traveling with women, young children, and large flocks, was vulnerable to bandits. Though he made it this far without encountering trouble, perhaps Esau knew something about the nature of some of the people in the region. There was probably a reason he had an army of 400 men. Verse 16, "So Esau started back that day on his way to Seir." Verse 17, "But Jacob journeyed on to Succoth, and built a house for himself and made stalls for his cattle." That is why the place was called Succoth. This appears to confirm that despite what he'd said in verse 14, Jacob had no intention of meeting up with Esau in Seir. Sukkoth is a Hebrew word which means booths or little houses. Verse 18. Jacob arrived safe in the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, having come thus from Paddan Aram, and he encamped before the city. Verse 19. The parcel of land where he pitched his tent, he purchased from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 kesetas. Verse 20. He set up an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel. This Hebrew phrase means El, God of Israel. Verse